I'll be reading this morning from Romans chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me. Be Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Okay, if you're there now. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Father in heaven, we just rejoice today. We thank you, God, for the fellowship we have in you and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray today, God, that you would be exalted and the Lord Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up. We rejoice today together in Christ. We thank you, God, for your wonderful grace. We thank you, God, for your unending mercy. But we praise you today, Lord, for your love toward all who believe in Jesus. And I pray today, God, that we would be encouraged through your words and we would be see people come to faith in Christ that do not know him. We just pray today that you would be glorified in all that is said and done here, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here. We thank Pastor Eric again for the opportunity. And I know it's a joy to get to do this. And we want to look at this passage today. I know in our small groups, we're going to be approaching it here in a few weeks, but I just felt led to preach out of this passage just because it is so marvelous. This is a passage about the atonement. It really comes down to what the atonement is, what Christ accomplished on the cross for all who believe in him, and then the blessings that fall to believers because of that. If you would look at verse 11, at the end of verse 11, New King James has the word reconciliation, but the King James translates that as atonement. And that's what we want to focus on today, the blessings of the atonement, what Christ accomplished on the cross. The atonement, of course, is the covering of our sins, and not only covering once for believers, but removing them as far as the east is from the west. We will see them no more. God will remember them no more. So our sins have been taken away forever because of faith in Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross. If that's not cause for rejoicing, I don't know what is, because we are forgiven in Christ. And this passage is so marvelous. We see what Paul speaks about to us, really bringing out the truth of how wonderful what Christ did. And he explains to us in no uncertain terms our condition apart from Christ. You know, when we come to the Bible, we have to make a decision. Are these words recommendations, or are they words for us to believe and obey? Many people today believe the Bible contains the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. We want to look at this today, especially focusing on four words that concern our condition apart from faith in Christ, as words to take hold of and believe, even though they are not words that are compliments in any way. We know that they are true because God's Word says so. And that's what he calls us to, is to believe and obey Scripture. So when we read these four words, especially focusing on them today, we want to keep in mind that we are being given revelation knowledge. What I mean by that is, well, for example, verse 6, if you would look at verse 6, he says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's two of the words there. The other in verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the word "sinners" there in verse 8. And then verse 10, "For when we were enemies," and that's the fourth word we want to look at. So when we look at these words, we can read through it on our way to chapter 6 of Romans as we read. But really, we want to take a moment today and consider what these words say. What does it mean when we read "without strength" or "ungodly" or "sinners" or "enemies"? Because we can read that in a natural setting and say, well, I can understand there's times in my life when I've been very weak and I've been without strength. I really am just so tired. I'm exhausted. And that must be what the apostle means there. But that's not the case. Or ungodly. We may read that word and say, well, there's certainly times in my life that I've been just a bad, bad person. I've made some bad decisions and done some bad things, and I was ungodly in those circumstances. Or perhaps we see the word "sinner" and say, yes, yeah, there's been times I've sinned, I've done wrong, I've treated people poorly, I've been dishonest, I've stolen, I've lied. Yeah, I've been a sinner. There's times when I've sinned, and I've been a sinner. And then the word "enemies," and we read that and say, well, there's times when I've been mad at God. Things did not go the way I wanted them to. I prayed to Him or asked Him for help, and I didn't get it. And because of that, I guess at that moment in time, I was His enemy. But we want to look at what Scripture says. The best way to define these words is Scripture. Scripture defines Scripture. So when we look at this wonderful passage concerning the atonement, what Christ accomplished, and we notice the focus in these verses is that Christ died. Christ died. His blood, what it accomplished. And then, of course, He lives. And we want to examine all those as we have opportunity today. Perhaps not to get to all of that, but the greatness and truth of these words is really beyond our capability today and the time we have. But we do want to focus today on the need for us to recognize our condition apart from Christ. For those that are lost, how dire their state is. I was speaking with someone recently, and they were talking about perhaps coming to the Lord one day. They were just working through it, and at some point in the future, they expected that they would become a believer. And I was struck by that, thinking every moment what dire circumstances you live in. You are a breath away from eternity. All of us are. And we don't say that to be melodramatic. It is simply the truth. I knew Jim Bethay years ago. He was our camp counselor and a leader of the state of Alabama Southern Baptist in the Brotherhood Department. He was a runner. He was a healthy man. He was a wonderful man, a godly man, but one day at a church banquet, he fell over with a heart attack, dead. Godly man, good man, healthy, and yet we don't know when God will take us. So we say these words today as if this is the last opportunity I have to preach to you and the last opportunity you may have to hear. But we want to take this passage for what it is. It's a warning to us, but it's also a blessing to us to rejoice, to see the very height and depth of the love of God. Because verse 8 is really our focus here. We want to focus on this. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a wonderful, amazing passage for us to focus on, to recognize what God has done for us through the shed blood, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Christ has accomplished for us is glorious. We are victorious in Him. We have been declared righteous, justified, we see in this passage. Even back at verse 1, if you would look back at chapter 5, verse 1 there. Therefore, being justified by faith, which is the only way this can happen. As we read this passage, we see we are declared righteous by faith. Think about that. People that have no strength, people that are ungodly, people that are sinners, people that are enemies of God, and yet God's Word says, because of His great love, through faith, we are declared righteous. We bring nothing to that. That is completely the grace of God. It is completely and entirely a supernatural work. When we look at the word, for example, in verse 6, without strength, we notice there the term is helpless, powerless. That goes in both directions. We not only have no power to go to God, we have no power to resist sin. Jesus said those that sin are in bondage to sin. You're slaves to sin apart from faith in Christ. If you don't know Jesus here today, you're a slave to sin. This is what God's Word says. You are without strength. You are helpless in your estate at this moment. You cannot resist. You cannot move. You cannot do anything to empower or help or aid your condition. You are without strength. That is a complete statement in the Word of God, showing us our complete lack of ability to do anything for ourselves, to make ourselves in any way acceptable to God, in any way desirable to God, because we are without strength. There's nothing we can do. So when anybody thinks about works righteousness, it's passages like this that we see that say we're powerless, we are without strength, we're helpless. And beyond that, in verse 6, we see that Christ died for the ungodly. When we see a term like that, we say, well, this is not just simply a phase we're going through. Ungodliness is contrary to God in every way. This is one of the strongest terms we can possibly have attached to us. And this goes for all of us. Because we see in this verse here, Paul includes himself in the we, and then in verse 8, he includes himself in the us, that Jesus died for us. So when we read these passages, we are ungodly. There's nothing in us that's desirable, that's appealing to God in any way. We are ungodly. We are contrary to Him in every possible sense, even beyond what we comprehend as people. This is why we understand this is revelation knowledge, because we cannot comprehend this. When we're walking around, we say, well, I don't feel like I'm without strength. I don't feel like I'm ungodly. I'm actually a pretty good guy. I don't feel like I'm a sinner. And I'm certainly not an enemy of God. But when we read these words, God is revealing to us through His grace and His mercy our state before Him. He is the judge, not us. And when He judges rightly, we read back in Romans chapter 2. Our condition is dire apart from faith in Christ. But God, through His love, poured out in us, as we read back in verse 5. He poured out through the power of the Holy Spirit His love into us, all who believe in Christ. Christ is our hope, but we are ungodly. We are without strength in Him. If you would, Dennis, pull up Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. If you would, turn over to that passage. This is just part of a longer passage, but this kind of touches on the idea about our condition apart from Christ. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. If someone would read that, please. Thank you, brother. So again, when we come across passages like this, we are in sometimes in a state of half belief. We can say, well, they certainly are they are without strength, they're ungodly, they're sinners, they're enemies, but not me. I can rationalize my condition, my state, but Paul does not allow that. He says, we are without strength. We are ungodly. We are sinners. We are enemies. And we need salvation. And we can't do anything about it to improve our state. This is why God, in His great love, reached down and sent His Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save all who would believe in Him. He atoned for our sins once for all. Not as in the animal sacrifice of the Old Testament, where the blood would cover the sins for a year, but once for all. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished once for all. He's no longer on the cross, whatever crucifix may appear. He is off the cross. He's at the right hand of the Father, and the work is done once for all, forever. For all who believe, for all who trust in Christ, we are saved forever. This is reason for us rejoicing. We should praise God for what He has done in saving us. We do not deserve this. We've been saved from wrath, as this passage speaks, saved from wrath through Him. Christ has saved us from the wrath of God. We are no longer exposed to wrath as Christians. Did you know that? You may be tested, you may be tried, but you are no longer susceptible to the wrath of God. Praise God. We have been removed from the wrath of God. We know these things because God's Word tells us this, not because we know it through our own natural senses. Our own natural senses deceive us. That's why we need passages like this to show us exactly what our condition is. If you would, look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. If you would, someone would read that for us, please. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 speaks about the deceit we all have.
Amen.
Thank you. Desperately wicked. And that's not their heart. That's my heart, your heart. We all are in this condition. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. That means it's not going to tell us the truth about things. That's why we need revelation knowledge. That's why we need the Word of God, the light that the Scripture brings. It illuminates us. It illuminates our minds and our hearts. It gives us a passion and a zeal for God that we did not have, and makes people who were once enemies of God become friends of God. It leads us to love what He loves, to hate what He hates. We are changed. We are made new creatures through faith in Christ. What we once were, we no longer are. These are all causes for rejoicing in this day. In a day in which we live, where so much misery goes we see paraded almost on a daily basis, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have a place for rejoicing. We have a reason to be joyful in Christ because of what He's done. We are so thankful for what God has done, for His purposes toward us in bringing about salvation through Christ. The text there talks about how we are saved by His life. So much of the focus of these verses is concerning the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, being reconciled to God through the death of His Son. But because of Christ, the resurrection, we have life. We have life in Christ. And I want to focus on that before we close today. because these passages are so rich. There's so much in them, but we want to look at that real quickly in just 1 second. But I do want to go back and touch on the idea of being a sinner. Sinner is simply missing the mark. It's falling short of God's perfect standard. God's perfect standard for us is perfection. And we've all fallen. We've all missed it. We are sinners and we deserve hell. We know that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The last word I want to look at, verse 10, is enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Well, what a glorious truth there. Even despite being His enemy, God in His love has reconciled us to Himself. He has atoned for our sins through the precious blood of Christ, and we are reconciled with Him. As verse 1 in chapter 5 said earlier, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, we have the peace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, but this is speaking of peace with God. The warfare is over. If we are a Christian today, you've surrendered your life to Him, you've acknowledged and professed Jesus Christ as Lord, and received salvation that He freely gives to all who believe. This is not anything cheap. Christ speaks about counting the cost, because it takes your entire life, devoting your life to Christ as Lord. No longer your own Lord. You step off the throne of your life and you allow Him to step up and take over in your life. You live under His authority, no longer under your own. So as we look at these verses, we rejoice together in Christ, what He has done. We rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done, who has made available the reconciliation. Through Him we have now received the reconciliation. What a glorious truth for us. In closing, I want us to look at 1 John. If you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Really speak about living for Christ with eternal life in focus. Not only in this world, but in the life to come. So Dennis, if you would put that on the screen, please. And if someone read that passage for us, please.
In this love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Thank you, brother. Are you willing today to offend somebody with the truth of the gospel? This is offensive. We read in 1 Corinthians that this is foolishness to the world. But this is true. This is what God Himself has revealed to us. We are to hold to and believe, and not only believe, but rejoice in, exult in the glory of God, what He has done for all who would believe in Him. Today we want to remind people that this sermon is the invitation. If God is doing a work in your heart, we ask you to deal with Him where you are. You're more than welcome to come forward to Pastor Eric after the service or sometime during the week to ask questions or discuss matters. But this sermon is the invitation. We want to see people come to Christ. As Paul said, we seek to persuade men and women and children to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So today we rejoice in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in giving His life on the cross to die a be buried and rise again to give us life eternal. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, God, for your work in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope, Lord. We are guilty before you. We are without strength. We are ungodly. We're sinners. And we're enemies apart from Jesus Christ. But through faith in Jesus, God, you make us new creatures. And we praise you for that. You dwell within us with your Spirit. And we praise you for that. We thank you, God, for today. We thank you, God, for the day we live in. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have before us to share and proclaim the very good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. I pray today, God, you would be exalted, you would be glorified in all we do, all we say moving forward, Lord, that we would live in obedience to your commands more and more and be conformed to the image of Christ through your Holy Spirit. We praise you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.